This is a no self-control podcast. Kevin Durant just got 40 points of beat the Milwaukee Bucks with an injured. Wow. With an injured partner. That's crazy. They're going to copyright start this. Fuck it. He needs to have a, like, I feel like Kevin Durant is amazing. Like, I don't like all the movies. Like, he deserves to make whatever movie he wants to make. Like, what? Who am I?
Well, look, Scott, I appreciate you having me on. But look, this was Kevin Durant's greatest performance of his NBA career. And he took the Bucks over that over this lap and gave them a spanking with a leather belt. He did it in every form and fashion. Offensively, we already know that.
15 rebounds, 10 assists. I can't believe they won.
He played for 48 minutes.
He played. That's all of the time. That's all the time he could play. He 49 to Luke to Giannis Antetokounmpo's 34. I want them to win. I want them like. Wow. I want KD. Like, I really want Nets and Suns. But I want CP3 to win.
The way it got away from the Bucks late, if you put yourself, Kendrick, in that locker room right now, I mean, it's 5 minutes after this game ends. How do you tell yourself we can take get two when you just let that thing get out of your hands?
It's hard, but you got to let it go.
Giannis had 12 rebounds. That's crazy. Oh, Nets overcome 17-point deficit to win Game 5 at home.
They played. So what's the score? What's the series at right now?
3-2.
Are the Nets? Oh, the Nets now it's 3-2. The Nets are up.
Yeah.
It might be.
Only have to win one more game.
It might be Suns versus Nets in the finals.
I mean, if they win this, I feel like they will gain so much respect for themselves that they might win.
But I mean, like, are you gonna root for?
But if they go against the Hawks, it's over. They watching the Hawks. That'd be crazy if the Hawks beat them, and then it's Hawks and Suns. Wouldn't that be weird? Like the Hawk, like somehow Trae Young just pulls out and beats them. I could see him being the Sixers, but. Wouldn't your brain be like, what? Who is it? I don't know. Maybe I'm out of. Maybe I don't understand basketball anymore. What do you think?
Well,
Do you? How well do you know Trae Young? We live in Atlanta. I'm not super familiar with the Hawks. I'm not really.
I root for them though because like that's
look
my
up
city.
Their lineup real quick, please.
Like the fucking Hawks. That's like that's my city. Trae Young, who's like the superstar of the team. Bogdanovich, Clint Capella, John Collins.
He's good. Clint Capella is.
Lou Williams, Danilo Gallinari, DeAndre Hunter, Kevin Huerter, Cam Reddish. Like, they got Trae Young and Clint Capela. That's really, and they're
Clint Capela.
Clint Capela. They're not gonna make it. They're not making it. Have the Hawks ever even made it to a finals game?
No.
They'd be the first. Now, have the Hawks ever been to an Eastern Conference final?
I'm not sure. I don't think it. Well, look it up. Please. I know we've been looking out for the Hawks. I don't think they won the championship.
They have never won the championship.
And be where he is at this point in the postseason, to do so without Kyrie Irving, with James Harden playing 46 minutes, yes, but not looking like the James Harden that we have often been accustomed to.
Atlanta playoffs history.
He was absolutely extraordinary, and this will go down as one of the greatest playoff performances that we have had the pleasure to witness.
Yeah, it was inspiring on so many levels. It was a virtuoso performance by Kevin Durant. Make no mistake about it. He made one mistake.
They didn't even make it to the playoffs in the last 3 years.
And the crowd groaned because everyone wanted to see him do it. To play at that level in a game five, and your team was down 17. With 19 minutes to go in this game, and they outscored Milwaukee 57-34. For Kevin Durant, one of the all-time greatest performances. But a couple of guys, Jeff Green, off the charts, and then James Harden. James Harden did not have it tonight. But he was out there for 46 minutes. So everybody talk about leadership.
Maybe.
All you want. It's not about yelling in the locker room. It's going out there and playing like that when you really don't
he
have
only
it.
Went for 1-for-10, and they still
won.
You
want to talk about inspiring, and a guy that wanted it. That was James Harden. Come on now.
A good decoy is very important. If you can't be good at playing the game, just be a good decoy.
We're going to give it a go, and Sarah plays 46 minutes. Again, how important was just his presence in being...
The Hawks did win a championship in 1958, but they were the St. Louis Hawks.
And even Steve Nash in his pregame press conference said, oh, we were going to support him because James wants to be out there.
They got that.
They knew that James Harden was not 100% health-wise,
you can,
but to your point, Frank, it just would be absolutely inspirational.
The last time the Hawks were in the finals was in 1961.
Performance, we saw so many moments, in particular in the second half, the third quarter, as the Nets really built back and then took the lead, of how he was directing things. Some of the passes he was making, important defensive plays when needed. And to think about the fact that not even given the...
I mean, if they come here, I think I'll be good for Atlanta.
For a stretch of where were we at, about a week,
you know,
or so,
like if we
and to come in and
get a finals here,
intensity, and to play 46 minutes, wow,
I make people come
to
Atlanta.
Something
to
be seen.
So,
it's something that, you know,
but anyway,
this entire team has
this is crazy.
James, this regular
but
season,
this is No Self Control podcast,
he was not making hard cuts
and
in the first half. He was really
we're going to play something else.
Okay, so. Yes, they have. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals in 2015, but lost. I think to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Makes a lot of sense. Who's on the team at that point?
The 2015 Hawks.
Shooter?
At a high screen, make a play, and he made plays all night long. 20 points in the fourth quarter. There were
when
great
I
players down that court tonight, but there is one guy
see.
That stands head and shoulders.
This is the lineup for the 2015 Atlanta Hawks.
Harrow
on T, Kent Bazemore. Bitch, get the fuck out of my goddamn
really
shit.
That much this year. You know, 2 years removed from Achilles surgery, he is all the way back.
And it's a statement, again, that he makes in a game like this with so much on the line. You lose this game, you go into Milwaukee, where they've obviously had their struggles. Everything rested on this game and this performance. And what we saw
in
the third quarter,
so
was carried over
in 2015, this was 2015. The starting point guard was Jeff Teague. The starting shooting guard was Kyle Korver. I remember Kyle Korver. Small forward was Damari Carroll. Power forward was Paul Millsap. And then the center was Al Horford. They had a good-ass team.
17-10.
I don't think Kyle Korver even plays anymore.
108 victory. Coach, let's talk about this again. Unbelievable performance from Kevin.
Durant, from the beginning of this game, was looking and reading how he could start to pick up.
Yeah, Kyle Korver's 6'7". Holy shit, man, it's huge.
A variety of different players try and combat what Durant was doing, but there was a physical nature, his presence, how he was getting to his spots. We talk so often about just KD's ability to get to his spots, rise above his shoot. That's exactly what he did. But you continue to see where his eyes were looking, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity for the Bucks to run a second at Kevin Durant, but when they did, he was making the right passes and the right plays all night.
Yeah, this is where he was getting his shots early. It was in that fourth quarter. He had 3 three-pointers, and I really thought everything changed in that third quarter when the Brooklyn Nets scored 38. Michael, think about it. The first 29 minutes of this game, the Nets had 57 points.
Oh,
they had 57 points over the final 19 minutes of the game, and it was all because of Kevin Durant.
Kyle Korver
couldn't do anything about it, and to play 48 minutes in this game, and so many people were talking about the grind and the job that P.J. Tucker did on Kevin Durant in game four, and you absolutely gave him credit for it. Kevin Durant exerted a lot of energy in that game.
So tomorrow you have to go to work, right?
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
I fucking love I love that shit.
That's at 106.05, by the way. That's a huge shot, right?
A huge shot. And to think about the fact he played every
he was going
second
off.
Of this game, it didn't even look like he was breaking a sweat. I mean, watching him, it was a locked-in zone that...
49, always, 16 out of 23, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 48 minutes. So for every moment he was on the clock, he got a point.
Performances like this don't come that often. In fact, this is the first time in NBA postseason history that we've seen a performance like this. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, played every minute.
Triple double. He has a triple double.
And again, as I pointed out, the first player in NBA postseason history with a 45, 15, and 10 game.
That's cold.
It's just, again, everybody should appreciate what we saw with the desperation, everything. This is a beat up basketball team. Obviously, there was, you know, sadness with Kyrie Irving's situation.
And, you know, it's cold. Like, he think he's better than Giannis, right?
Who?
Kevin Durant. Like, so, I think someone said, like, said that he was, like, the next coming of Kevin Durant. He was like, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. He's like me. And this is him showing that Giannis Antetokounmpo isn't like him. And if he beats him in a series, I think they might beat him.
Am I wrong?
No.
Hola, bitch.
Hola,
bitch. And then Kevin Durant carried them through. That is an all-time legendary performance.
All right, this is a No Self-Control podcast. We're going to go through something else. We're gonna go through music.
Get ready to go to bed. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, we're gonna go to sleep. Alright, so we got This Is My Sleeper. And then your next. We're gonna go song for song. Alright. This song makes me. I love this song. And I want you to fully listen to it and then tell me what you think about it. It's called Idletown Coon. It's by Conan Gray. How they were like making he was making conversation with me. He was like, okay, this dude is heated up. I'm like, dude, like, I was like, bro, like, cause at that point I was just like, whatever. And then he just kept on talking to me. Like, that was kind of funny how shit went down though.
He kept looking at me. He would look at me, and I would, like, look up and just look at, keep looking at you and completely ignore him. He was freaking me out.
And then you said something to me, and I finally said something, and then he started talking to me.
He was trying to fight me. I was like, what's this dude staring at?
No, he was trying to the other for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that now.
Even that sweet Sims Benjamin ass. He was like, yeah. That's like, but we are really close to Atlanta. Like, they just got lost.
Yeah.
This is Smyrna. Like, come on, man. Like, I was like, but I kind of like, I was trying to like let him know. I was like, yo, I am LBG. I am LGBTQ friendly. I am completely. But yo, this is my friend.
And he's very uncomfortable right now.
He's very uncomfortable. And I don't know what to do. But I think I made him more... did I make you more comfortable?
Did I make you more comfortable?
I wasn't uncomfortable ever.
I mean, I was just uncomfortable because like, he kept staring at me. If he was staring at you, I probably...
He was staring at me too.
He was staring at both of us.
At the end, he was staring at me. Like, at first he was staring at you, but after that I was like... And then I started staring at him, and then he started talking to me. You don't understand what happened. You weren't paying attention. I was like, all right, I feel like he's staring at me now. I just was like, I started dead bull staring at him. He was like, that's when he started talking.
I don't fucking know.
Of course you don't know. You weren't paying attention enough.
No, I just wanted to eat my food. But between the gay dude next to us, the bitch of a bartender...
I dealt with. We kind of dual managed it. Alright, you dealt with the bartender.
You looked at me and you were like, she's kind of hot. And I was like, what?
No, she wasn't, but like. I'm not talking about this. But anyway. No, I'm not talking about it. But anyway.
Wait, why don't you want to talk about it?
It's just kind of gross. But anyway.
Jesus, what are you going to say?
No, I'm not saying what I'm going to do. Thinking I'm saying. Anyway. Man. Life is strange.
Life is strange. I think people in general are just strange.
But I kind of understand because I'm like I've dealt with both places where like I was really attractive to people, like I was attractive to gay men, I was attractive to women, so like it was just kind of fucking weird. Like I was like, why am I attracting all these fucking people? Just like your essence kind of pulls someone in.
Yeah.
But we did, me and your suitor did like talk a lot in between, like if you weren't paying attention.
I know, I was just like trying to enjoy my meal. Went to a gay bar though, so.
I did it, at least you.
He's like, you gotta suck dick to be gay. I was like, what?
Yeah, that was like the last thing he said before he left.
I think he'd had a couple of drinks before he walked in.
I feel like, yeah, you do. You have to suck dick, or you gotta be fucked by some other man to be gay.
You get in the gay club, you have to suck dick, dude.
Oh, like, otherwise you're not gay.
Dude was clearly gay. I mean, dude was clearly drunk.
Both.
Alright, Roy. I'm going to bed.
That's a horrible way for us to end it. But this is a No Self-Control podcast.
Little and Royal, Uncle Ben.
And we're going to make some ice tonight. We're going to be ice tonight. Alright. Peace out.